what I want you to say. Welcome to the Winners Never Quit podcast with your host, George Cruz. And today I am joined by world record holders, Team United We Conquer. Afternoon, boys. Something like that. Fuck, you're all over it, man. Nice. Thank you very much, George. Podcast, George.
Yeah. Good afternoon. We are taking... Good.
Just try not to move that cable.
Okay, at the bottom bit? Yeah.
Yeah, just try and hold it quite steady.
So, Winners Never Quit podcast... We are joined, I'm George Cruz, we're joined by United We Conquer, a.k.a. World Record Holders.
I tell you what, it's a good thing 4-5's taken off, because you wouldn't make it as a TV presenter.
No, that was me going through my head.
All right, that wasn't live.
I'm glad that wasn't the official one.
Yeah. Okay, that's not the official one.
Jeez, that would have been a bit lackluster.
I was like, he doesn't want to be here.
Yeah. Jesus. We got an hour of him.
Yeah.
He's asking the questions. Okay. Good afternoon, we are with... Good afternoon, we're with... We kicking out. Winners Never Quit podcast. Good afternoon. I'm George. We are with Winners Never Quit podcast, and today we are hosting United We Conquer, aka World Record Holders.
Nice intro. I'm going to say normally I host this. This is George's first time, so take it easy on him. It's nice to be the other side of the mic. Thank you very much for having us, mate. Really appreciate it.
All good.
Thank you for doing this. Let's get. Dive straight into the questions and talk about 56 days at sea.
We'll roll through that again. That's a bit slack. Sorry.
All right. George, okay. We've only got an hour.
Okay, sorry.
Let's include all of it.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm George and we are with... Fucking...
Why don't you put George Cruz, former England international rugby player?
Okay, this is good. Yep. I need this. Okay. Good afternoon. We're with Winners Never Quit podcast. I'm George Cruz, former England international athlete. And we are with United Team We Conquer.
It's really good until you messed it up.
Fuck, I hate this shit.
Like listening to ads go through.
It's like being on the boat. Right, George,
God.
Let's get straight into it. Come on, brother.
Okay. All right, gents, talk to me. Back on land, how's it feel?
Yeah, it's great to be back on land.
Yeah?
Yeah, a little bit boring, but it's all right to be back on land again.
Yeah?
Everything feels better now. Every shower, every
visit
to the toilet, every... bite of food, yeah.
I bet you've got something you can flush.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Something you can wipe with, maybe.
Yeah. Honestly, being on dry land is fantastic.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about doing these rows.
Yeah.
Just little things. Going to the toilet, like how bad was that bucket towards the end? Did anyone else catch their bum in the cracks?
Yeah. Bro, that fucking masking tape that we rimmed the bucket with because it was falling apart and cracking. About the first few days after that masking tape went on, it's like it was pulling my short and curly down.
We never took a picture. We should have. We lost our first poo bucket about... I lost our first poo bucket about 2 weeks into the crossing. So we had our only reserve one, which was meant for laundry. And then it started to develop a crack, which ended up being about an inch and a half long, which would catch you and pinch you if you weren't very careful.
You couldn't sit on it with your full weight because the crack would develop even further. So we were sort of hovering whilst doing our business, which was, you got used to it, but it was pretty awkward, I guess, to begin with.
In high seas, mate, nothing worse. It's funny, obviously, we've talked about what we're going to talk about, and there's just like little moments. And one of the worst moments for me, you know, when you're going for a poo in high seas, I know it happened to you, Ads, happened to me. Massive wave just comes over. So you've got your Gore-Tex trousers and your pants around your ankle.
That
water just goes bang straight into your pants, all the inside of your
shift as well.
Just like that.
Oh, yeah. For those that don't know, going forward, if something's referred to as a goffer, it means you've been hit by a wave.
Big wave.
Because that's what we used to call it, getting goffered.
Yeah.
I love how you've done something. You're world record holders, and the first bit of information we're getting is how you dump at sea.
Everyone wants to know, though, mate. One of the biggest questions.
True. I don't know why everyone wants to know.
Well, George, you sound surprised. What was the first question that you said you wanted to ask us, boys?
It's true. Because I thought maybe you might have a cabin with like a nice walk-in shower. You know, one of those sit-down, like a bidet next to it.
Yeah. Those Japanese toilets.
Those Rannocks come with a...
They're manic.
That sort of facility.
Yeah, well, Nutty asked me, he's like, mate, I thought there'd be sofas on a Rannock. I was like, mate, they're not that big. Yeah, so just to give people context, a Rannock is like a newer designed ocean rowing boat.
Yeah.
Sort of, I don't know, like a Mercedes A, like Mercedes type, if we're comparing it to cars, and then ours would be what, like a Ford Cortina from the 1980s.
In between us.
Still the literally fastest rowing boat that's ever existed, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Oh, magic. And I'd say best moment out there?
Who wants to go
sunrise
first?
Sunrise and seeing the sunset.
I bet.
Absolutely incredible.
Like every day,
it was a joy every time you could see it. Yeah. Sometimes you didn't see it for a few weeks because it was really bad weather. But yeah, I think that was probably one of my highlights, seeing that. And also being with the team as well. That's a really good highlight for me.
Yeah, for me, it was whenever it was calm, you could have all the cabin doors open and we'd all just be chatting, like all four of us at the same time. Mm. Especially after a warm day, like one of my favorite things to do was get clean and have a fresh water wash. So, like, after you have, like, rinse yourself with some soap and fresh water, everyone's chill, everyone's chatting, and you're like, this actually isn't so bad. If everyone knew how easy this was, everyone would do it.
Yeah, I know, man. That first half was actually surprisingly straightforward.
Well, apart from day eight.
Day,
a capsize.
We'll get to that.
I'll go. My favourite moment was breaking the 24-hour record.
Incredible, gents.
Yeah, everyone likes to go fast because the faster you go, the quicker you finish.
Yeah.
But also, as well, it was quite unintentional, wasn't it, boys? Like we tried to break it, and we were a bit chaotic a few days before. We like after 6 hours of doing sort of 5-6 knots, we're like, it's on.
Yeah.
But really, that 24-hour record's only on at the sort of the 18-hour, 20-hour mark, because you can't go that fast for that long. Like, you just run out of steam. So to break it, like 130 nautical, was it, day one?
I think the first time.
Sorry, not day one, but the first time we broke it, following day was actually 144.
Yeah, we've just redone the maths on it. We thought it was 140, but we think we're going to get verified at around 144 and a half. So we'll see what that number comes out at.
Yeah.
Mate, on that world record attempt, I fought before the row. I don't really give a fuck about world records. My main value derived from the expedition was the absurd nature of staring at the high seas from a rowing boat. But then when that first record, I thought it was on and we were rowing like fuck. And then I came back out on shift and we were doing 2 knots again. I couldn't believe how fred as I was.
Mate, yeah, I was gonna bring that up. Brucey before the row was like not asked about the world record whatsoever. Yeah, yeah. And then when it was on for that first time, when the speed started to drop, I remember I come out and Brucey was rowing like a spider monkey jacked up on Mountain Dew, like a fucking maniac. I'd never seen him like put that much effort in. I was like, boys, we're only 4 hours in, like we've got to hold this now for another 20 hours. But yeah, and then we smashed it. We smashed it twice. We actually rode 150 miles, nautical miles, but it goes off point to point.
Yeah.
So because we'd done sort of like a D-shaped curve, it was only 144. I say only 144.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Our daily average was 55 nautical miles.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, what a special thing. It's something you have like fully for the rest of your lives until me, Dom, a couple of other mates go out there and smash it.
Please no one do it in a Rannoch or one of those Mark Slats spaceships, please. Yeah. It's cool, you know, and you know, records.
Do you get like a plaque or anything? What's the vibe?
Not from who?
I don't know.
Guinness.
You should get a nifty certificate.
Nothing in Trafalgar Square, like a statue or...
No, I mean...
One of these days.
No, not these days. People don't like statues anymore, but imagine that.
Yeah, no, Team United would definitely be torn down.
Give it
6 months.
Yeah, just
when they find out all the atrocities.
George, microwave this hard drive if I ever die and they build a statue of me.
I'd say the biggest surprise of the whole crossing, like, was there anything that like really blew you away? And then I guess we'll get stuck into the other side of that.
Surely the whales for you two.
Whales were amazing.
For you two, as in you didn't see them?
I saw them, I just wasn't as fond of them.
Okay, yeah.
I reckon probably 10 sightings in total of mostly fin whales and some pilot whales as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was those two.
Yeah.
We saw some in the distance as well, and I count them as a sighting.
Yeah. Same ones, no?
No, just different ones each time.
And for anyone that doesn't know, I didn't know fin whales are the second biggest animals on the planet. So they are pretty enormous, and they
first look... being Jack's ego.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
When they come close to the boat as well, they're all like almost a stone's throw away from the boat.
Oh, really? Like, yeah, I saw a photo. It looks pretty. It's the enormity of them.
The video you took, Brucey, we're all like that. Fucking hell, aren't we? Like the expletives, but they were so close, I couldn't believe it. Yeah. my biggest surprise was how hot it was that first 3 weeks.
Yeah, conditions. What are we at with that? Like, because it just looked all over the place.
Mm. Yeah, it was. So when we were in the Gulf Stream, we had like 3 weeks of boiling hot weather. And I remember once I was in the bow cabin, I was just lay there not moving because I didn't want to generate any body heat whatsoever. And I was just watching the sweat formulate on my chest and just create a little puddle in my solar plexus. I was like, am I going to sponge myself down now? Like, it was that how hot it was.
Yeah.
And also at night. So, yeah, it'd be a bit cooler because the sun wouldn't be out. But then there was like this breeze and it was like someone had a bloody leaf blower on you or a hairdryer. It was so hot. I couldn't.
Can't describe how, like, you wouldn't believe us if we could tell you how warm that air was on our back. You'd be rowing at like midnight.
Really?
As Jack said, literally like a hairdryer on your back. You're like, how is that possible?
I think we put in a lot of south into our heading out of New York to try and make best time into that Gulf Stream.
Yeah.
And it proved quite difficult to find, which was frustrating. And we kept getting new waypoints set by our weather route.
Break that down. What is the Gulf Stream for?
So it's a tropical, it's a current that comes from. Yeah. It's a ocean current. The jet stream is the wind current. Mm-hmm. And the ocean current's the Gulf Stream. And it runs pretty quick. And it allowed us to get that 24-hour world record. But we had to get ourselves in it to begin with. And I remember Chris Martin, our weather router, kept sending us new waypoints. And we kept, because of the wind, we kept trying to head further east. And he's like, no, let's keep going south. And then he's like, don't go east, you'll get into the Gulf Stream. I was like, what, in case we accidentally make it back to the UK?
We were convinced that he had malintentions for us, like he didn't want us to come home because he was like, no, keep going south. We're like, why?
Why?
England's that way.
Could have just been Chris Martin from Coldplay, not knowing what he's on about.
Got the wrong Chris.
That heat thing as well, in any sort of sea conditions at all, both cabin doors have to be pretty much like airtight, locked shut because waves come over the boat all the time. So it's like when you're Jack saying about that sweaty environment and you're in an airtight, tiny little cabin, there's sweat dripping off the ceiling. In there.
Yeah.
And like it's 100% humidity. So you're not cooling down through perspiration, which is difficult.
You're just constantly sweating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you literally, I literally couldn't sleep in the day sometime because it was too hot.
Yeah.
And then there was a time, I'll tell the story of when I changed with Nutty on like one of the worst. Can I tell this one?
Yeah.
When night, like it's the middle of the night, probably changing over at 5 a.m. or something. And he's just had a horrible time trying to sleep in the middle of the night. So when it's meant to be cool, because the door has to be shut. So he's getting dripped on and he bursts out of the cabin ready for a shift. And he's like, well, good luck sleeping in there. You're just going to have to lie in there because it's too hot. So enjoy your lie down.
You've got to be at a vent as well.
Yeah. Oh, mate. Central, it was two different vents going on there. One breathing and another one frustration.
Oh, man.
You feel like you can't breathe.
It's miserable.
Especially at the start, because you're actually using the oxygen that's obviously in that small cabin.
Yeah.
Well, especially when it's packed full of bags and food at the start. You'd have to, I don't know if this was placebo, but I felt like I could feel the carbon dioxide build up and I was like huffing and puffing and I had to get fresh air.
No,
you weren't like, it was mainly when I was asleep, I would like wake up sometimes and know, you're like, Jack, you're not coming on shift. And I was like, no, Matt, I just need to breathe. Like, I'd wake up like that.
Matt.
Goffing.
So give us like, and it might be repetitive, but give us like, what was a 24-hour day like? Like literally, was it 3 hours on shift, 3 hours off sleep, 3 hours on? Like, is there anything more to that for 60 days?
Interspersed with having something to eat.
Mad. That's doing the madness of it. That's what's so foreign to anyone who's like, hasn't done it, would just be.
It's as well, because people go, what'd you get up to? And I said, every day is pretty much the same.
Yeah.
And I mean, it does differ. If you're in the bow cabin, you are pretty much wake up, row, sleep, wake up, row, sleep. Because you don't do any admin in that bow cabin just because it's so small. But if you're in the aft cabin, you know, your day's still pretty much the same. You get up, you'll make everyone scram. That'll take about 30 minutes. Then you'll sleep, row again.
And you swap that role?
Yeah, every 5 days.
Move house.
We'd swap.
Okay. And who rowed together? What were the pairs?
So these two never rowed together and we never rowed together. So we were cabin mates and they were cabin mates.
Okay.
So I'd row an hour and a half with each of these two.
Yeah.
Vice versa.
I do an hour and a half with
me, and then I do an hour and a half with Ad.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. So you never
split shifts.
Yeah. And you didn't change that pattern; you stuck to it from the start.
Yeah, it worked well, mate. I was more of a fan of having a set partner, but it worked well having the splitting the shift up. You know.
Yeah.
Because then you don't look at your watch for the first hour and a half either, because you know they've got to change before you can even think about finishing.
Doesn't it?
So yeah, that first hour and a half, you chat a little bit. Whether you do or don't, you don't even think about the time, so it goes pretty quick.
And is it like, are there points where it's just business and you're like rowing. There's zero chat. It's just getting head down grind.
Yeah. I think it's
vast majority.
I would say it's not like you just head down grind. You're just tired.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, and you don't even have to say it. Like, you don't go, right, Nutty, we're going to row in silence today.
Yeah.
Just, you both get on, you sort of feel the vibe. Yeah. It might be, but then sometimes we get on at night and you just fucking chat away.
Yeah.
You know, I found with ads, I could always, like, I know I said to you, I could tell when he was tired.
Yeah.
Or tell when he'd had a good sleep, because he'd had a good sleep, really want to chat. And then I'd just obviously hope that I'd had a good sleep and I'd want to chat. You know, it's like, because sometimes he'd want to chat and I'd just be like,
yeah, that sleep deprivation is incredible. If you're saying you couldn't sleep and then you've got to get up and do something physical, like.
I think to begin with, it was, it's amazing how quickly you get used to it. Like, the first few days, that's probably the same, but I could see that, like, ads had already been running for an hour and a half. In the middle of the night, you seem like dropping off a bit, not like dropping, falling asleep, but like nodding a bit. Everyone was like, but then we had these sachets, which were really good from 4 or 5.
Oh, yeah.
And they had like 80 milligrams of caffeine in them, which I thought was perfect for a 3-hour shift. And then you could sleep again afterwards, so you weren't just buzzing. It was a nice little amount of caffeine to avoid jitters. Tasted really nice as well. Well,
that's like a seamless plug. Unasked for seamless plug. Yeah. I like
unasked
that.
For.
Pay you later, brother.
Did you just give 100 quid cash?
Yeah. That's brilliant.
Monopoly money. But no, look, I think when I was playing professional rugby and like everything, you know, got a big game on the weekend, you're like, all right, well, the sleep is everything. I want to be so precise. So I want at least 8-9 hours. Food prep, everything. Well, you guys, there, you're doing a world record off the back of completely different scenario. That's like, for me, takes into your mental challenge like 10 times more than what we had to go through. But yeah, that's super impressive. Fair play to you, lads.
Yeah, but, you know, just to say, reiterate with Bruce, you'd be so surprised, and we both put it out in my post, and that when you have to, when the die is cast, you can do it.
Yeah.
That's why people should really try and push their limits. Yeah. It's like, not to get a bit too deep, but like, I know after like a week of doing 5 hours sleep, you're like in it, and then you're just used to it. And ads, I'm sure that was like, because we knew we'd be able to do it from our first rows.
Yeah.
But then ads, I'm probably,
Not
to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, no, very much need 8 hours like on land, otherwise I'll start to decline.
Yeah.
And then, but I probably averaged like 5 hours overall over the course of the row, and was, you feel okay because you're topping it up throughout the day. So it's not like you've had 5 hours and you've got to go through a whole day. So it kind of, it's a weird system, but you do get used to it. And as Jack said, especially regarding like giving up, when you can't give up, the thought just flees immediately.
Yeah.
When when you're 2-3 weeks in and you're like, I'm really tired and I don't want to be here. It's like, don't worry about it. You've got to keep going.
You've got to just step off.
You know, George, you were saying about questions we always get asked. It's always poo. And then another question I always seem to get, radio interviews or just Joe Public, is how do you keep going? And like Adam says, we didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
No one was coming to rescue us.
We had to,
it was finish or perish at sea. So
madness. Yeah. And talk me through, so there's four of you and there's like, what, you're out 60 something, how many days?
56.
56 days. That's a lot of food and there's a lot of like nutrition. Like, talk us through your stack, how you...
I tell you what it was, not enough pink 4 or 5 hydration tablets available in all good retailers.
That was not the angle. Yeah.
Try it free now.
In this box.
No, but seriously, if anyone's going to do this, variety when it comes to food.
Yeah.
Not just your hydration tablets. Variety is key.
Yeah.
I worked it out with ads one night shift because we both got this sort of analytical mind. And we had these 1600 calorie nut butters, which are great. If one's in the business of consuming over half a large male's RDA in one sitting, they're great.
Yeah.
And if you're not averse to swallowing like the consistency of liquid, a very viscous brick dust, it's a great product. And they were 284 grams each, and we suddenly worked out that we had 60 days times 4. We had over 80 kilograms of nut butter alone on the boat.
Another person on the boat,
and that all like makes a difference, I guess, in terms of like drag and
weight, if you were to oh, go on, if you were to have a hairdryer, talk about hairdryers a lot on this, don't we, and you were to hairdry a ping pong ball and a table, a ping pong ball and a tennis ball, you know, even though there's more surface area of a tennis ball, the ping pong ball would go quicker because it's lighter.
Yeah.
So the lighter you are, the quicker you go.
When did you get your degree in?
Well, when you spend 56 days rowing with a mech eng graduate, you learn a few things like this.
Yeah, that's nuts. So you'd have like, I saw lots of like ripped hair pouches. Like, what was the vibe? You're not getting a roast dinner on a Sunday, are you?
I'll show run them through like what the consisted of. So, hence why we've actually all not lost much weight. Yeah. So we sacrificed maybe a bit of speed on the water, but for having that extra weight on. And because we had 6,000 calories a day budgeted, and we still thought we'd lose weight at that amount. But it took us a couple of weeks to get our sea bellies fully developed, so we weren't eating much at the start.
Because of like seasickness?
Yeah, exactly.
Did anyone suffer big with that?
No, we
were. Not, I remember.
I wasn't very happy in the cabin for about two weeks, but like you shut your eyes while you're doing stuff.
That's a precautionary. You always take seasickness tablets before you go.
Is it?
Yeah.
I got
You'd be silly if you didn't.
Some
people have like a weird thing. They're like, I don't want to take them. They make me drowsy. I'm like, it's better to be a little bit drowsy than bent over.
Than not to be able to
eat. Seasick. Because I happen to be on a training row.
In that heat, if you can't keep fluid down, you're fucked. Done, mate.
Yeah, you're done.
Literally, you won't be able to carry on. Sorry, I'd go on.
Yeah, like three main meals a day, which is porridge for breakfast, then a lunch and a dinner. So it could be like a beef stroganoff or a chili or a Mediterranean vegetable pasta or something similar.
Yeah.
So that was 3,000 calories, breakfast, lunch, dinner. Then we'd have 2,000 calories of nut butter, which was, as Brucey described, was horrible to get down you to start with. And by the end, we were like, oh, these are quite nice, actually.
The chocolate orange especially.
Oh. Yeah. The thing about those nut butters is they separated. So the oil and the nuts separate. You had to give them a good, especially if it was cold at night towards the end of the row. You had to sleep with it in your sleeping bag and then
knead it.
Give it a good knead. Oh, the ocean slugs, the sea slugs, mate.
Yeah.
They need a mention.
Should we mention this?
Yeah, we should. He did us a solid. So we had on the Mid-Atlantic, both of you guys had like jungle bags, like normal sleeping bags. But we, as a precautionary measure, got fleece-lined waterproof sleeping bags.
Mm-hmm.
And they saved our asses a few times.
Even when they were piss wet through, they were still warm.
Yeah,
I remember at the start thinking, we're never going to use these because it was so hot. But come sort of week four when we started to get a bit colder.
And it did get cold?
Yeah, it did.
This chap, Tom Waddington, he's also rode the same route solo. He says to us, we were asking him for advice, and the best description he gave was, it's like autumn in the UK.
Gosh,
but he set off from Canada, so he didn't have the red hot bit at the start in that. So we rode as far down as Charlotte, like the Carolinas.
Yeah.
So we went pretty far south before we started going. We went southeast before we went east to get that full advantage of the current.
Yeah, mad.
Yeah, it's like tropical conditions, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, bloody lovely.
Prep for it all.
Although we were a bit nervous as well. We didn't have enough sun cream. Because I said to the guys at Life Jacket, I was like, we won't need much, you know, North Atlantic, chat to Tom. So we ended up using like our towels, and I used a t-shirt to like cover our legs. So we didn't have to use as much sun cream.
Yeah, with that copper lid as well. That's a straight burn.
And then there were like shifts when we were in the middle of the ocean where you'd be shivering by the end and you want to get into your
sleep. Oh man, like, fair play. That's like... I remember some of them like training in the winter and it's like sleeting and then, you know, someone gets lifted and lands on your toe from 6 foot up on a stud. You're like, I mean, your toe's about to fall off, but then you're just like, but that, the constant of just being cold and like, and then trying to have to do a physical effort is, fair play to you guys.
Oh, that's one of the coldest nights. Reminds me of me and Jack was changing. We were in the bow cabin at the time, right? And we used to share Fowleys, so we weren't bringing back thoroughly piss wet like heavy articles of clothing into that confined cabin, and it was absolutely howling. So I come out in my Knicks and a t-shirt, and then we'd change Fowleys, and it was like howling waves, high seas, we're falling around all over the boat trying to take our trousers off and swap them in that confined space. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing? what's happened?
I think we're probably going to touch it. That's got to be out there, one of my worst moments. I know exactly the shift he's talking about, because he come out and I remember like my jaw, you know, when you're so cold you're shivering, and I was like that, and I was so happy that I was like, yeah, see you later, and I just dived into the bow cabin because I really started to get cold, and I think
making hot drinks and flask on deck after that incident.
That was nice to have.
Put the 4 or 5 tablets in boiling water.
Nice, really warm.
You have to let them fizz out though, so if you put the lid on straight away, you open it and it just goes like that, and you're like
scalding water in your eyes, hands.
Do you like to get any injuries? Or, I mean, food-wise, like how many calories per day? Like
6 in total, we have.
6 in total, okay.
6,000, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Probably over, really, I think.
No, it's six, barely over. So six is 2,000 for both nut butters, 3,000 for main meals. The snacks, yeah, probably about 6,500.
Yeah, I'd say. It's the flapjacks.
Just over 550. Yeah.
And you, I know you were tight, like in terms of like, are you going to have enough food or not?
Yeah.
Worked out fine. Like, how many more days over did you have?
Twice I've done that now, mate. Ate my last main meal in sight of land.
Really? What timing? That is incredible.
That's just professional planning. That's not oversight.
You blacking bastard.
Yeah. But so you're on the plan, isn't it?
Should have taken less. Should have done less time.
Any provisions? Could you have done anything? It's unmanned, right?
Or? We knew how long it was going to take. You get an idea like 2 weeks out, so then you can start to budget. So we were just on porridge for the last 2 days, pretty much.
Okay, nice.
But we could have eaten, rationed earlier, kind of thing.
We had
a lot of, like I said, it took a lot longer this time for me to get my sea belly.
Yeah.
So
what do you mean by sea belly? Just you say the sickness. So, sort of
yeah, it's
it,
just
yeah.
it's not until, it wasn't until like 10 days in I was eating 6,000 calories a day. That first 10 days, I was having half a breakfast. I'd share a breakfast with ads.
Yeah,
then
cute.
So straight away, that's 500. Then I wouldn't eat a full snack pack. Yeah. Snack pack, a large nut butter might last me upwards of 3 days before I'd finish it. So that's, you know, you're just getting used to seasickness, the adrenaline, and all that. So that's what I sort of say. When you get your sea belly is when you've rode for 12 hours and you've got an appetite like you've rode for 12 hours. But yeah, towards the end, we had a few spare like nut butters and things. So
how many calories would you say you consume on a normal day on land? It's just like, how are you on now?
Oh,
if you're in like full-time training, like it's like normal training.
I mean, now is probably not a good time. I mean, like, you know, what do you call a herd of pigs? A herd of pigs. I mean, like a ravenous herd of pigs. Like anything.
No, he's a farmer.
Yeah, young farmers. Yeah, eating like a ravenous horde of locusts. But normally, probably like 2,000, 3,000.
I was thinking like 6,000 calories. If you're not used to it, is a lot of a lot of food. Plus, combined with an uneasy stomach.
Mm.
Yeah, we weren't eating. No, I was probably half my food to start.
Mm.
First meal when you're back.
Oh, it was a full English breakfast. It was brilliant.
Oh, you can't go wrong, can you?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't. Cornish pasty and a roast chicken. Big shout out.
It was.
Nice.
Everyone on the Scilly Isles that squared us away.
Cheers.
The harbour master. Stayed up till like 2 a.m.
Matt, nice. I was blown away by the reception in the Scillies because we didn't know 100% confirmed we were going to stop in the Scillies until approximately 24 hours before we landed.
Yeah.
We arrived in the Scillies. Where else
could you have?
If we'd have needed to, if we got stuck, we could have pushed north to Cork.
Yeah,
if we were going to be stuck by these easterlies, which I'm sure we'll cover.
Yeah.
But the whole Scillies, there's signs all around town, like Oz with American and British flags on them. They gave us really what? There's like maybe like 15 people at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
watching us arrive.
Yeah.
And they'd gone, I was like,
that's
I didn't
class.
Even know I was coming here until fucking 18 hours ago. I was blown away by that level of...
it was really
that roast chicken was amazing.
Oh, so something.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, it was.
Yeah, they just prepped it, had it warm in the kitchen, and Nutty was like, grabbed it with his hands. You have that. Yeah.
Ripping the leg off. Like, it was a leg.
It was a drumstick.
So nice.
So good.
It wasn't.
And in terms of like that, you touched on that reception or sort of, I guess the, all the support, you know, the fact that you've raised over 100K, the fans, the growth of like your profile, like talk us through that. Did you expect any of this? Like, had you been told to expect any of it? Like, talk us through the journey of that.
So we actually had the conversation on the boat of like, do we actually invite everyone to the finishing party?
Yeah,
because we had, you know, quite a big social following. Jack 6x'd his following, and I like pretty much the same, like 67x my following. So we were like, you know, that's a lot of strangers if we just give an open invite.
A lot of the Adidas followers are fucking weirdos as well.
Weirdos, but thank you for the
100K. I dispute that.
Yeah,
wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
I love all my followers. Yeah. Apart and from some of the DMs you lot sent me. All right, you know, you need to go to therapy. A lot of you.
And we did read them out.
Jack, can we read out some of these DMs on your podcast, or are they too grotesque?
Let's save it for the end, but I think it will be quite funny.
That famous poem at the end, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
You'll love this.
Yeah.
It's
funny.
I think it's
it's visceral.
All right, let's get back to it. In terms of, we were
really glad to land in the Scillies with like a very small reception because none of us wanted to talk to anyone. We just had a little bit of head down, loads of food, and then wandered around Hugh Town, which is an amazing, quaint little town on the Scilly Isles.
Mm.
And then as we were rowing into Southampton for our finishing party, we all said on the boat, as we could see the crowd of people, it was over 300. I don't know exactly how many.
Mm. That's brilliant.
We were like, oh my God, I'm more nervous for this than the actual row itself, because we stepped off and then swarmed by people. But it was lovely. Everyone was really nice, like wanted pictures and to chat to us. And
Family down there?
Yeah, yeah, all yeah, that family.
That's beautiful.
There.
Yeah, because we'd completely emptied the boat. So the boat goes in the water. Me and Nutty, you were on the oars, weren't you?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, me and Nutty on the oars, two Ads and Brucey on the cabins. And I remember thinking, like looking around, because I could see the amount of people that were there, and I thinking, oh shit, like yeah. I was genuinely so nervous, because I was like, if we just banged it in, we would have looked like Muppets. And we get in the boat, and the boat's proper off, because the water maker's on one side, it's the only bit of kit that's nailed into the boat.
Yeah.
The boat's tipping like that, quite sort of a strong wind.
Yeah.
But I say by some miracle, we just absolutely nailed it. We rowed in, stopped rowing, and then the boat just perfectly drifted onto the pontoon, and then saw all our friends and family. It was
yeah.
If I could bottle that up,
yeah,
that day into, you know, I don't know, like a drink you could consume yeah. and sell it, I'll be a millionaire. It was unreal.
Quite a shock to the system, because for obvious reasons we'd lived a very insular life for 2 months, and then to see all those crowds, and then I felt like a panic rising in my throat, mate, when I saw that crowd.
Emotional?
No.
Really?
No, I didn't want it, mate.
Oh,
Ads
really?
Was right. It was more. Yeah. I was more scared to finish the road than I was to start it.
Yeah. Wow. And then, but and like embracing your family and things like that. I know when, say, I've played an international game or something, like that moment after with your friends or in the team. But then also when the family come into the team changing room, like that moment for me was like my most special moments, where you could relax a bit. But also you just like, you got that familiarity, that security around you of like people who are there to watch you, to be with you, to like who have backed you along that whole journey.
I loved it. I thought it was brilliant. Like I said, wish I could bottle it up. Don't get me wrong, I wouldn't row across the Atlantic again, you know, to get that day.
Yeah,
once was enough, but yeah, it was pretty special.
So you said that last time, though.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
exactly.
It's like childbirth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Women, they say how horrendous it is.
Let's not mansplain about childbirth.
Yeah, no, I'm sure childbirth is horrendous.
We're not in the position being males to do that.
No, but you definitely forget the pain, and then you're like, right, let's row again.
Nah, fair play, lads. And 100K, do you want to just touch on like the charity and sort of where that will be pushed towards and sort of anything around that side?
Yeah, so Head Up, it's a new military charity, tri-service, so it helps Navy, Army, Air Force. And what they're doing is they're looking to build or buy a retreat. And what they'll do is former servicemen and women, servicemen and women can go there, and it's basically a 7-day course that they will provide. Go through loads of different therapies like cold water therapy, music therapy, the importance of gut health and exercise and how that helps with your mental well-being. And you'll go away and you just have all these sort of tools in your toolbox, more mentally resilient, that then prepares you for any challenges you may face in the future. Because they're not, they will help people in crisis, but it's not about helping people in crisis. It's about helping people before, just giving them the knowledge, and then they're in a better position should anything happen to them. So yeah, they've raised maybe 550,000 now, I think, with our maybe 600,000. So they need to raise another 400,000, but they've only been founded for like since COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So five years.
And if people want to donate, where do they head to?
So you can go to our website, Team United We Conquer, or go to the Instagram page, Team United We Conquer, link in all of our bios as well, and that'll take you there. And I think we're up to 105,000 now. Yeah. Well, we are up.
Brilliant. That's some serious money, and I guess probably that gives you a bit of feeling of the magnitude of, like, you know, how many people are supporting you from, I guess, from all over the world, right? When you take it to social media, like, you pick up from far and wide, any weird or any like people who reached out specifically that you were like in awe of, or any heroes on that side?
Apart from you, Dom, obviously. You know.
Apart from me just putting comments on your on your like one topless photo a day mandatory thirst trap.
Ads like that. Why am I getting all these gay comments on my... Probably because you got your rig out, mate, and you look pretty good.
Yeah. I love it.
But yeah, that definitely was a thirst trap, that picture you're talking about.
Yeah. Do you want to talk through that one?
Yeah. Just thought, why not?
Which one is this?
The one where I'm stood behind you.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like I'm packing a 44 Magnum.
Oh, yeah, I was not collabing on that one.
Yeah. I was like, no wonder you got a world record of your own with that thing.
Yeah. Oh, those in the dead ground shots, they really do flatter, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They really do. Yeah. It's all in the boxes.
Especially when you put a pair of socks in it. Yeah.
What
socks? head to Instagram if you want to look at that photo.
Yeah, for sure. It is... You know, social media gets a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? A lot of hate.
Flack, yeah.
A lot of flack. And rightfully so a lot of the time, you know, it can be an absolute cesspit.
Mm.
But if social media didn't exist, none of us would be sat here now. I actually only knew Nutty through work. We were on a course together in 2017.
Yeah.
And then we were planning our row, and then Brucey messaged me, and then we ended up going for a pint, and then realised Nutty was on that team. Me and Adam met through social media. So the team never would have started. And then on top of that, we wouldn't have raised over £100,000. So
it's mega. Yeah,
for all the things.
Absolutely mega. You're so like proud of that.
Yeah. Oh, mate.
Yeah,
incredible.
Really, really chuffed.
Because I don't know about you, but when you set a £50,000 target,
yeah.
I thought we'd get there. But I thought we'd be sat here now and it'd be like, you know, 57.
And you might not get that. You might get 10 and sort of the whole trip might have been a bit like deflated and sort of.
Yeah. There's a couple of girls. I can't remember the name of the other girl, but basically they're rowing.
Seize the Day.
Seize the Day is their team name. Look them up. They're rowing. First female team to row from South America to Australia.
Yeah.
So what was that, 9,000 nautical or something?
Something mad. It's really long. Something like 7,000, yeah. And I always think about this, you know, it's when you raise money for charity, it's unfortunately not how hard the thing is you're doing.
Yeah.
It's about how many people know about it. And this is not me. I use Jamie Lang as an example. You know, ultra marathons in 5 days, a non-run. Yeah. Fucking fair play, mate. Mm. But because of his profile,
he
raised over $1 million.
Yeah.
You know, not saying what we did was harder.
Yeah.
But maybe just a little bit. but you get the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
So to raise over 100 grand, and that's a tenth of what the guys need.
That's brilliant.
Head up.
Fair play.
Yeah.
And for anyone like thinking of doing a challenge like this, like, you know, you go on holiday, you get 10 minutes off and you start thinking, oh, I'd love to do like a mad little weird challenge. And then like sometimes never comes to fruition. Like anyone who's thinking about it, maybe on the edge, like any advice? Any advice?
Yeah.
I've got some good advice. Like be prepared to eat shit sandwiches for a year before, because that is what a lot of us had to do. All of us had to do like every single email, asking for brands if they want to get involved. And bear in mind, I had 170,000 followers before even starting and we just got told no so much.
There's a lot of no's.
And now those same companies coming back like, please, can we work with you?
No, yeah.
I think it's so frustrating because you have to pursue every potential opportunity with 100% enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And it's not like none of us are afraid of rejection, but it does start to weigh you down after a bit, you know? And you're just like, fuck me, are we ever going to get this money together? But you always do. You just have to keep slogging away.
So it was a really hard year of, you know, multiple hours a day, like preparing the logistics of the row. Yeah. You know, I think there's so many things that go into it, like even, you know, the planning of the food, the fixing of the boat, the you know, I could list 100 things, but so many decisions had to be made, so many problems had to be solved. And so, depending on the magnitude of your adventure, just be aware, like, it's meant to suck at the start.
Yeah.
And it's going to be worth it if you really want it.
But having said that, ocean rowing is a particularly complex thing to get off the ground. You could do an expedition of equal magnitude. Like, me and Nutty were talking about some long-distance cycles, like Land's End to John O'Groats is particularly accessible. Mm-hmm. Even if we wanted to then cycle to Istanbul, which is a nice idea we had.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It costs fuck all. You just get a bike and you could eat cheaper, bread all the time. And
bread and water.
You don't spend much money on food.
Bowl of rice a day.
Yeah.
God, like a POW in a Japanese prison camp, just a bowl of rice a day. Yeah. But no, that's... They have a saying ocean run, the hardest part is getting to the start line. And
So it's like two parts really. And that's obviously we did a training session before and like a really small snapshot of sort of what you guys were up to. But to hear that you were like plugging away for a year to like make sure these gaps were filled and money was raised, boats were in place, transport, all those sort of things is an eye opener, definitely.
So
it's kind of realistic advice there, I'd say, fair play.
Not to blow smoke up, you know, 4 or 5's arse. But we do really like companies, and if anyone's watching this and owns a company and someone approaches you, if you can do something, like do. I mean, I know it's hard because you get a lot of chances out there.
Yeah.
You know, especially my first row, you didn't know me at all. Like, you just took a chance, sent me some product. Luckily, I was an absolute beast and I did it. But but you know what? It's
so humble as well. That's what I love about you.
But no, seriously, we really appreciate it. And all of our sponsors,
we'll
tag you all in a post. I can't list you all now, but you know, thank you so much for believing in us, because also it's, you know, reputational risk.
Yeah.
If the last thing that's seen as we disappear into the Davy Jones's locker is the 4-5 logo on our boat and it sinks, like, doesn't look great, you know?
There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Oh no, is that Zoom in?
Yeah. Who authorized that?
Titanic.
You know, so it's, you know, it's, you know, you're blown away, and you know, we're really lucky to have great sponsors, and you know, I hope, you know, I really felt 4-5 probably leaned in the most with Combat Fuel, you know, just always commenting and saying well done. So
it was just nice that, like, we had a great relationship with you guys. I thought, just like, you come and train with us, and that's brilliant. You know, great strategic fit, I think, between our brand and your brand.
Yeah.
Worked out really good. You get a lot of, like, finance firms that sponsors that have share goodwill, but there's no strategic fit there.
Yeah.
Apart from maybe just exposure, but it's no, like, target audience or anything for you guys. It's perfect.
Well, it's like JKC, so shop fitting company.
Yeah. Construction.
Just give us the money, and then I don't know what they asked you for, but I'm pretty sure they were just like, just make sure our logo's on the boat.
Yeah.
See you when you're done. So
It's just tough. You need these young companies to chip in as well, and it's quite like, but fair play to you guys for going out and making it happen.
Yeah.
In terms of, you've done a couple roads together, in terms of, like, potential next trips, any ideas, or are you going to, like, down tools for a bit, have a bit of a break? Like, any wild
always
things.
Something in the pipeline.
Well,
Brucey,
me and Nutty have got a couple of big things in the pipeline, which I'll announce in due course. I think now's not probably not the...
Yeah.
Because it's such a good idea and it's fairly accessible. So I want it to be the...
We want to do it first.
I'll tell one me and Ad's spoke about on the road, just because it's quite funny, I think. And we had, like, sort of, when we 10 days left. Do you know what I'm talking about? No. I won't mention it in case you don't want to mention it. But it was like, Jack, we could get a boat and we could row from fucking X to Y. And it's about 900,000 nautical miles. So it's, you know, it's a big...
900,000?
No, 900,000 nautical... No, it's 900 to 1,000 nautical miles.
Yeah.
And I turned to him and I go, mate, let's finish this one first, you know, and then ask me 2 weeks when we get back. Yeah.
The thing that everyone should know is, you know, these two have got something big in the pipeline now. Nice. With a bit of following, that'll be exciting to watch. Jack's got a huge one, which you might want to talk about.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple of nice ideas as well. So there will be lots from all of us.
Yeah. I reckon also, and, like, there's no rush, is there? But in, like, within, like, 5 years or something, me and Ad were speaking a lot. We just have a little fun one. Like, we're going to summit Aconcagua, the highest peak in South America. It's a pretty easy, it's pretty accessible apart from the altitude. It's a bit of a snow plod depending on the route you take. We're both meant to do it independently of each other.
Yeah.
Nice. Like a few years ago, it never worked out for both of us. So it'd be nice to get the four of us back out for another outing, a bit more of a low stakes, self-fund that.
Because that's the big thing, I think. I know I said to the boys, you know, it's the slog before that's hard, you know, raising all the money, you know, approaching sponsors. And to be fair, actually, it's nice when it's obviously fantastic when a sponsor says yes, but getting a no actually isn't that bad. Like, you're like, well, at least they've read the email. The amount of companies we emailed, contacted, and then just got nothing. So
I thought my logic with that was work smart, not hard. So we've got the whole list of the companies that support the Armed Forces Covenant.
Yeah.
My mate's got this software where you can put the company and say you want the marketing director for a company of a certain size. It scrapes. I've got a list now. I've got a database of companies and email addresses for hopefully the relevant person that can sanction, that can give the yes or no to this. Sent off an email, just did a trial one, did it so the emails didn't get put in the spam with a certain email marketing strategy. I think we banged off about 200 emails over like a week, and then the only thing I got back was from like five companies saying, how the fuck did you get hold of this email address?
You're
getting your bag ready to get all the cash in.
I felt a bit sorry for Bruce. Bruce is like, mate, boys, this is going to fucking bomb.
Yeah.
This is going to go well. And so anyone that's part of the Armed Forces Covenant, you need to do more for the Armed Forces community, you bastards.
But I guess it's nice to hear that, like, it's like you've done it, and you don't want another piece to do with, like, doing another challenge, you know, like you've done that hard work, but you also want to go again. And I think probably that that two-part thing of like prepping, and that should be significantly reduced. Now you continue to build your audience and your sort of people, you know, you prove yourself in terms of what you can do, what you can bring in. Yeah, fair play to you lads.
Yeah, so like, because people, you know, they say, oh, when are you going to stop? And I said, well, why should I stop? It's like the done thing is to, you know, settle down, get a safe 9-to-5 jobs, Barrett new build. And I'm not, and if anyone does that, like, that's fine. Like, everyone should just find their own way. But
I think as long as your end state that you're working towards is you've prescribed it yourself, then that's great.
Yeah.
If your goal is to do what you think the dumb thing is, I think you only get one go at things, you know, and you don't get that time back. So it's up to you how you spend it, really. And as long as you're the one that's at the helm, then more power to you. But if you're not, then perhaps it's something to work on.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just laughing. My mum's friend Sarah was like, she's like, how do you do it? I said, it just made me think about that. Because to me and the boys, like doing stuff like the row and that, it's exciting. And she was like, how do you do it? I said, Sarah, you could do it.
Yeah.
Like if someone had a gun to your head.
Yeah.
And said, row the Atlantic or or that'll be it. You do it. And she goes, no, Jack, I'd look them straight in the eye and say, finish me off.
Shoot them.
Yeah, shoot me.
Okay. Yeah.
well, mum, what if they had a gun to my head?
Off, something I've never done.
Sorry, you can cut that if you need.
That's brilliant. Good. Can't believe I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
and like, bit serious talk, so the scariest moment, like, and did you actually feel like this could be life and death, or like how because again we watch from a phone, and you know you present some of the nicer bits and it'll be quite clean cut by the end of everything.
But like, questions for
Nutty. Oh, what, the scariest moment?
Yeah, like, and how raw was that feeling?
Being in the cabin and getting absolutely thrown around it when we inverted.
Really?
So we have these vents in the cabin for when it's like nice and calm. You keep them open.
Yeah.
A bit of air comes through. Trouble is, when air comes through, water also comes through when you invert. So upside down, smashed my head on the ceiling. All the stuff in the cabin fell on top of me, and then water started pouring in, and I was like, fucking hell, is this it?
Like,
I should laugh.
Yeah. I was like, shit.
Because you had none of us knew the capsize was coming.
Nobody knew.
And how does a capsize come? And obviously, like a big wave, right?
That situation, big wave. We was on parachute anchor when that happened, which is highly atypical that the boat should invert into those circumstances. However, the wind and the waves are coming from two different directions. So the wind was essentially holding the boat between 45 and 90 degrees beam on, which is side on to the waves. So when the boat's sideways on, if a big wave's like, they're not breaking waves like surfing waves, there's huge white horses and incredibly high swell walls. The boat was on anchor, it just fucking flips over, and Jack and Ads were on deck. I think they only just put the parachute anchor out, so they went flying.
And what does going flying look like? Like, as in...
Well, you're still tied onto the boat.
Straight over.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like underneath, because I got this idea hard. That like you capsize and you're underneath and like, I don't know, you got a pocket of air and you're just like...
No, it's...
But,
so if you've been surfing and been chewed up by a big wave, it's very similar to that. So monster wave, me and Ads both on deck facing each other, boom, nails us, flips us upside down. I remember being under the boat and you're like, protect the head. And then I saw the light. I didn't die. I saw the sky.
Get the hell out of here, man.
Yeah, very disorientating. And you're like, right, that way's up, swim for there. And that's obviously where, you know, the boat isn't. So started swimming, then was pulled back by my tether. And then come up, saw Ads there, happy.
Yeah,
because now I know he's all right. Climb.
Oh, he's still here. Damn it! Yeah.
Damn.
Send another wave.
Yeah. I was like, fuck, shouldn't have clipped him on.
The easiest position to be in that situation is the bow cabin, which I was in, but because you just put your hands on the ceiling and you're fine because it's so compact anyway.
There's nowhere to move.
But when the boat's upside down and the cabin door's airtight shut, I'm then faced with a decision. I know that if the boat stays upside down, for me to do anything that could help the situation out, I have to then compromise the integrity of that cabin, open the door, flood it, and then swim out.
Yeah.
So I'm stuck there thinking if the lads that are outside the boat can't, it did self-right by itself anyway, but if those two couldn't self-right it, how long do I leave it before I compromise the integrity of that cabin to help the lads out?
Because
if I do that, the whole cabin's flooded, and if water's then inside the cabin when the boat's upside down, it will no longer self-right because between the ballast and the air pockets in the cabins is what keeps it upright in that. So then I was thinking, fuck, well, am I going to fucking have to open the door? Then the boat came flinging back the right way up, so I didn't in the end.
Within like minute?
It must have been seconds.
Yeah, seconds.
Felt way longer, especially when water was pouring in.
You have that time, that processing time when shit gets real. Like Bruce, you had all of that thought process. It was inside 4 or 5 seconds, I reckon. But as Jack referenced surfing, it was exactly the same thing as kind of we got swept over and the boat was on top of us. You just, because luckily we both surfed before and all kind of know what to do in that situation. Just hold your breath, wait. Don't try and swim in any direction because you don't know which direction to go in.
Yeah.
Hold on tight and then pop your head up when you can.
And they used to make us do these things every couple of years in the military.
Heli dunker.
Where they put you in this helicopter simulator and it spins upside down in water and then they do it in daylight and pitch darkness and whatever, and it's just a bit like that, really. You just have to sit there until it stops moving, orientate yourself and then deal with it. But in the end, it just self-righted, so it's fine.
And the biggest concern is you get knocked out and then drown, or like what's the...
That would be a big concern.
Blunt
force trauma to the head, I think, probably the most dangerous thing that you could have.
In the wake of that, because Nutty was the one most injured, I had a gash on my foot, but it was healed fine over the next week, but he actually banged his head.
Yeah.
So we were all pretty cautious of that over the next 48 hours, just keeping an eye to make sure nothing was...
You're right, fine.
But I'd say that it was quite exciting in the moment for Jack and I as well. Like, we were quite excited. And then we were cold and we were still on parachute anchor. So then...
For like another 24 hours.
For another 24 hours. So then I went into the main cabin, the stern cabin, just to have a bit of kip while Brucey and Nutty were on the deck. And I remember then I was like, oh my God, we're only a week in. We've got 2,500 miles to go. Jeez. And that was... You feel very fragile.
We hadn't even done 500 nautical miles. No. Like,
me and Brucey had a whole bottle of whiskey together, didn't we?
Probably great for the concussion, that. Yeah.
You were so nice. Yeah. Like, I came out in my underwear or whatever to just get some fresh air. You come
and take a photo.
Brucey comes straight over, absolutely steaming after half a bottle. He's like, you're right, mate. Let me help you put your harness on. Like, everything's all right. We're all going to be fine. give me a big cuddle. Like, this is nice.
It was nice. Good bottle of whiskey. Yeah.
And you always had to, were you super strict in terms of, plugging in? And is it just as soon as you go from one cabin to another, you harness it on? And the oars, do they...
They're in gates.
They're in gates.
They're in gates, so they shouldn't... I don't know why you would have the gates undone, unless you were changing the oars but you wouldn't change the oars in high seas, so they're always screwed in. Then just any time you're on deck, you need to just clip on and... because like I said,
And you said equipment maybe went a bit wrong in that, and you lost a few bits maybe?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, that was quite annoying. So after the capsize, the AIS, I think that was the end of it. The radio went a couple of days later, and then the deck repeater slowly died after about a week. Again, not showstoppers, obviously, because we're here, but the AIS, it's just nice to have that.
A few near misses, by the way, with cargo. Yeah. There's a surprising amount of ships out there.
Bloody close.
We had a ship pass within a couple hundred meters. They don't respond to the handheld VHF, mate.
Didn't see us.
It was it was a funny bit about that, actually.
Yeah. I guess they're just on cruise control, aren't they?
Ocean Network Express Munich came sailing past about 200 meters long, huge container ship. And we were all chilling out, rowing along, obviously not facing the way we're going. And just, it's nice and calm now. We saw some tuna. And I don't know who thinks they can handline a tuna anyway, but it's do you reckon I should have a go? And I was like, yeah, why not, mate? If we catch one and we can't pull it in, we'll just cut it off. And then Jack's facing forwards for at least 30 minutes, obviously looking at the lures and that. And he's like, he looked up and he's like, lads, Jen, there's a massive ship about 300 meters away. And we were like, holy shit.
That's not strictly true. I'll tell the truth. And then I'll, one what you missed. So basically, that's when our AIS was working. So we had 12 minutes till contact. And I was sorting out the lures and it wasn't 30 minutes. But yeah, Nutty came out of the cabin and he was like, mate, that ship over there, obviously, because the AIS will give you a 12 or 24 minute, or you can set it to 3 minute warning.
Yeah.
So we had 12 minutes to get out of its way. But one Brucey missed was in the night, wasn't it? And that was about 300 meters, I think. And you were like that. And it just, when you spot, because you drop the ball, what happened to me a couple of times when you turn to your 3 o'clock or your 9 o'clock and there's just a cargo ship there and you're like...
You're looking up at it like that.
Where did you come from?
You're like that.
Ooh.
Sometimes they'd messages on the radio and then once they're
what are you doing, you crazy bastard?
They're looking at a rowing boat. They're like, oh, do you guys need any assistance? And we're like, oh, no, we're all right, actually. Then afterwards, I was like, fucking hell. Next time someone asks us that, I say, no, but do you need any assistance? Because that was the standard response then. There's one time when the comms and the AIS were both broken. there's a ship on the horizon, made a full 90-degree turn towards us. And we got him on the handheld VHF, and it's like, oh, we saw the flashing, thinking it was a mirror signal of distress, right? But it wasn't. It was just a solar panel reflecting on his bridge. Huh. Started coming all the way over to us, and it was like, oh, we thought you were signaling distress. And we're like, no. Solar panel, it's all right, sound crack on.
So if the captain of that vessel's listening, thank you for being switched on.
Cheers.
And then I don't know if that was the same time he says, do you need any assistance? And Brucey hit him back with a no, do you? Yeah. It wasn't well received.
they didn't laugh.
Yeah, that English sarcasm, brilliant.
Yeah.
Any oversights? Anything you're like, oh, you got out, you're like, oh my God, I've got my toothbrush. Or like, what was the...
A second speaker.
Second speaker, yeah. What? Just
don't wait. Broke day three, day four.
Oh man,
electrical plug sockets. We almost failed to charge any electricals.
Really,
so all our USB chargers went down.
So I don't think it was the adapters. I think it's the sockets themselves.
Because we kept putting new ones in.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
What did you get them from? Timu.
Pardon?
You buy them off Timu?
Yeah. No, we just got them off the car boot sale, slightly used.
Yeah.
Didn't take goggles. That was a big one, I think, and a scraper to scrape the barnacles off.
Yeah. And that makes a big difference?
Yes.
Definitely. Half a knot. Yeah, half a big coverage of barnacles.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I got away with it, though, because it was only about three quarters of the way through we developed barnacles.
Yeah.
And you got most of them off with our hands.
Sounds like an STI.
Yeah.
Looks like an STI. They
left them minging, didn't they?
Yeah.
Man. A couple quick fire ones. Best moment?
I'll go first. Breaking the 24-hour record. Brucey?
Yeah, some of the wildlife sightings.
Yeah.
Had a few high morale shifts as well with like a nice sunset or something.
Yeah, I bet.
Like everyone's happy, nice conversations. You know, it's like really good. It's thoroughly enjoyed most of that row actually, but they were the special moments for me.
I can't, both those two things are mine as well. Like when you have a nice sunset, everything's calm and you've had a good day, nothing beats that.
Yeah, brilliant.
Starting it and finishing it.
Nice, yeah, fair enough. Best facial hair?
Brucey, I reckon.
Yeah.
I did have a head start because I trimmed my beard so it didn't get too unruly, but I started with a beard. The lads started clean shaving.
Yeah.
I'll go lads. I mean, looks like he should be a dictator of a Middle Eastern country driving around
in
a 1980s Mercedes.
As should be tried As should be tried in The Hague preemptively because of the war crimes he's about to commit.
With that
moustache. Yeah.
I really like that moustache.
About to commit.
Yeah, we'll see how long it lasts. I like it for now.
Yeah, good. Worst moment?
Go on, Nutty, you go first this time.
Oh, being inverted, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like
Crazy.
That. Didn't like that at all.
Mine was like about a week away from land where we were in probably the highest or second highest seas we'd been in, like 4 meter swell. And Nutty and I were driving and steering. And these two were behind us, obviously paddling. And I don't think either of them appreciated how fucking difficult it was to steer.
It's probably the toughest bit of steering I've done.
Yeah, you'd have it on the bearing and you turn off for literally half a second, or even you don't even turn off, as in you don't switch off mentally, and it just goes 30 degrees one way or 45 degrees the other. And you're so knackered by the end of that shift because you've got 3 hours of just thinking, like constantly, and while paddling super hard.
Have you ever played one of them games for kids called Operation, where you have to, there's like a model and you have to pull like organs out of this plastic model, otherwise it beeps if you touch the side.
Yeah.
Imagine playing that for 3 hours.
It's like that. Yeah.
In high seas.
Concentration that's required.
One chucks buckets of seawater on you.
And it's a severe risk, because in those seas, if you go side on, that's when the boat inverts. And if you surf sideways down one of them waves, you won't just invert once potentially. The boat might start rolling down there.
Yeah.
And that would be like bad news.
And then you get hit by another one.
Yeah.
And then you get hit by another one.
What did you say to Brucey that made me laugh that day?
Oh, I can't remember the exact word, but it was like, try and keep it in a straight line. I was like, yeah, I am trying to do that.
I like being on the bearing as well, Brucey.
And then lastly, proudest moment.
Oh, Brucey, do you want to go first and then I'll go next? Or I'll go first and you go next?
Fuck, my proudest moment. Probably getting the whole thing together, setting off from New York felt like a bigger hurdle to overcome than... Like, we all knew we'd get to the other end, whether we did it in good time or not, is another story. Yeah, it's rowing out of New York.
It's
like we've done it then. We're doing it, you know?
It's the enjoyment
good as
bit
done.
Of that.
It's just a matter of time.
Proudest moment for me, £105,000, and you can still donate.
Yeah.
Mega. Yeah, that's fucking a huge amount of money. So, very, very proud about that.
Mine was as we were approaching the Scilly Isles, we still had about six. Once we first saw land, we still had about 6 hours to go. The RNLI lifeboat came out to greet us. That was, they were the first people we'd seen in like properly in over 50 days, and it was like, oh my god, we've actually nearly done it. Like it started to become real that we were nearly done, and then landing and like that next 12 hours after that was just insanely good. So that, yeah.
And there was no other contact with other like boats or like
the old radio.
The old radio. It's like yeah, crazy. Yeah. Yourself?
Just finishing it as a team and just being together. I think it's great.
Yeah.
That's my proudest moment.
Saw a tuna fishing boat at the start. Not a commercial one. Yeah. They approached us.
They filmed us, didn't
and
they?
And they said, do you want anything? And I was like, yeah, a few cold beers would be nice. And we're still on for the world record then, for the crossing record. And Dads and Jack were like, no, we can't accept any assistance from outside
yeah,
boats.
Yeah, that's fair
and
enough.
I was like...
yeah, fair enough.
Cold
beer's cold beer, though. Yeah. He's still
angry
about
it now. Yeah. Squeezing his fingers.
Yeah.
No, it was I'm proud. In fact, proud of the whole thing.
Yeah.
There you go.
Any shout outs to anyone?
All our sponsors.
Yeah.
You know, from Swizzles, Stuart and Glenn, you know, to JKC, Lumen Wealth, 4-5, Montane, Combat Fuel, Rattler. Life Jacket, Rattler.
Love Corn.
Yeah, Love Corn.
Love
yeah,
Corn.
In fact, you boys have an apology to Love
Flipping
Corn.
Heck. Yeah, I was wrong about Love
good
Corn.
Product,
I really like Love Corn. Product,
yeah. That's crunch to it, especially if you're eating mush from a trail day and you got a little bit of crunch. You're like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
When I've done endurance stuff in the past, I've always just, if I couldn't eat properly, I've always just wanted sugar. Yeah. Jack was like, no, you'll want savory on the road. I was like, no, I won't. I just want sugar. And then sure enough, like day one and day two, when I'm really nauseous, I'm like, oh, I can't even stomach sugar. And he's like, I told you. And the best things were the savory sweets, like the Love Corn. So
yeah, nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Had to instantly, with Nutty and I think Brucey as well, were like, sorry, mate, it's good. Thanks for bringing these. It's literally the highlight of the day for the first 3 weeks. Yeah.
Huge thanks to friends, family, you know, like girlfriends and whatnot and that.
Yeah.
Just for having the fucking patience to put up with our bullshit. It's probably going to be another one as well.
I'd love to say that was the end. Yeah. But hey.
Sorry, Kelly, there's going to be a few more. Thank you, love.
Look, gents, 105K, 56 days at sea. I'm sure you got memories for life there, but hell of an achievement. I, for one, am definitely looking forward to seeing what your next ones are. You may even be able to twist my arm if it's a short enough one, under 2 weeks. Like proper actually inspirational. So yeah, I know I was coming here thinking I'm actually like fanboying. I'm keen to get into the guts of like how it is, what it is. So, and I know there's like, you know, you've inspired a good few numbers. So yeah, fair play to lads. Good man.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.